Recently, many Virginia citizens have been peacefully protesting on behalf of their Second Amendment rights. And Jarrett Stepman of the Heritage Foundation continues with this story. He said Governor Northam of Virginia called for a state of emergency in response to the protests, and numerous media outlets predicted it would be marked by hate and violence and overall would be a menacing and sordid affair. Again, that's Jarrett Stepman of the Heritage Foundation. Jarrett joins us right now on Vocal Point. Thank you, Jarrett, for joining us again.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Okay, this is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now let's get to it. Governor Northam, this is the same man that survived the blackface scandal, but he is very big on abortion rights, and he's now big on trying to, minimize gun use or something in the state of Virginia. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, I think even the more controversial thing is his statements on what I would say is really infanticide, which it's amazing that he has actually survived these scandals that have occurred in Virginia. But it does go to the trend now. And Virginia at one time used to be a more balanced state. People would say maybe a purple state, maybe leaning red. But it's now trending a deep blue color. We're not just talking about gun control laws. We're talking about they just recently ratified the Equal Rights Amendment, which is basically a legacy of the 1970s. It was killed a long time ago, but would ultimately do a lot of radical things in our Constitution. And these aren't really the only things. I mean, I think the Virginia legislature and, of course, the governor, which now are all Democrats, are pushing, I think, a lot of extreme laws. What's interesting about, of course, this protest that took place in Richmond, Virginia, is I think there are a lot of Virginians now who are waking up to how extreme a lot of their legislators now are in the state's capital. And this is really quite a swing. I mean, Virginia was, especially if you go outside of the population centers near Washington, D.C. and Richmond, is in many cases a very conservative state. And certainly gun ownership is very high in the state. I mean, there is a culture of supporting gun rights and a real gun culture in Virginia. So it doesn't surprise me to see a lot of Virginians suddenly waking up to this idea that, hey, we have a lot of gun control coming down the pipeline. The Democrats feel very much empowered, like they can do what they want despite the voters. And what you're seeing is a backlash. And, of course, the media is very happy to portray the people who actually showed up in Richmond as a bunch of crackpot extremists when, frankly, they showed up. They showed up very peacefully. They showed up, some with their firearms, some not, but defending their Second Amendment rights, which I think most would say that a group of people defending their constitutional rights is a very legitimate reason for a protest. So the whole situation is very interesting, especially what is transpiring in the state of Virginia.
All right. I should mention the name of your article is The Media's Shameful Depiction of Pro-Second Amendment Protests in Virginia. This appeared at Daily Signal, dailysignal.com, and you work, again, with Heritage Foundation. Also, I should mention Jarrett Stepman is the author of a book called The War on History, The Conspiracy to Rewrite America's Past. Now, in America's past, of course, guns were very important. The Second Amendment basically gives us the right to bear arms. What is the goal of the governor of Virginia and then also the new Virginia state legislature when it comes to guns in that state?
Well, I think their agenda is a part of, I think, what is the larger national movement across this country to really disarm Americans. I mean, and while many in that movement have various levels of what they see as what they consider common sense gun control, you often hear this. I think their philosophy ultimately leads them to this idea that nobody should have a gun, at least nobody who's not one of the authorities. And I think that idea, I think, is very much, it runs against the grain of American history and American culture. I mean, the United States was in part created. Our own revolution was started when the British government tried to seize firearms, tried to seize the liberty of the people. I think there are various reasons why we have the Second Amendment. It's not just for hunting, although that's obviously an important thing, especially to many in Virginia. There are a lot of other reasons why we have guns. I mean, not just to, in some cases, self-protection in cases where the government can't provide a defense for citizens, home invasions, armed robberies, things like this. But at the end of the day, the reason why that right is enshrined in the Constitution is in the extreme cases where the government does become tyrannical. Now, obviously, we hope that we have a system constructed to prevent that, but that is why we have that in the Constitution. I think especially these laws that do try to undermine gun rights in this country, I think a lot of people see that, and they fear looming tyranny. They fear that a lot of their other rights will soon follow. And I think there's a reason to be fearful of that. I mean, we haven't really seen much of a limiting principle in this gun control movement, many even touting Australia's gun confiscation laws, which I think are very extreme, especially for a country like the United States. And so I think a lot of the agenda of this movement runs counter to large swaths of American culture. It runs counter to our history. And I think it's very reasonable to see the kind of backlash that you're seeing in Virginia.
All right. In your article, you say this. NBC reporter Ben Collins said in a now-deleted tweet that the gathering in Richmond would be a white supremacist rally. And here's another quote. MSNBC anchor Craig Melvin said of the rally on Monday, right now, thousands of gun rights activists, white nationalist militia groups, all swarming the Virginia State Capitol in Richmond. So the picture that the media was painting, by and large, was that these were all white supremacists. And this rally, by the way, occurred, a couple weeks ago on Martin Luther King Day. So comment on what was the makeup of the rally, and did it comport with what the media said?
Not at all. In fact, it was a very diverse group of people there. And I do find it rather obnoxious that the media portrayed this as, or even they portrayed the idea that gun rights are somehow for white people only. I think that is an absurd claim, especially when you do look at the history of gun control, not just around the world, but in this country. I mean, there were some of the earliest gun control laws were created by people who were trying to disarm black citizens, because many of them were using firearms to defend themselves and their rights at a time when there were lynchings in this country and there were very terrible things committed on black citizens. The idea that gun rights are somehow a white supremacist conspiracy, it runs counter to history, and it's ultimately offensive. I think a lot of people in this country who do support the Second Amendment gun rights are black Americans, are people from, really, as you saw from these protests, come from a very diverse assortment of Americans. These are not, this right is not associated with any race. It is based on an individual right to self-defense, the right of communities to defend themselves. And so to see the comparisons, especially those who said that it was bad to hold this on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I would say that in many cases, gun rights were a part of the civil rights movement initially. So I think it's absurd to say that this is just a bunch of, a horrible white supremacists, because when you actually looked at the crowd, you actually saw what they were protesting, what they were for, they couldn't have been farther from the truth. These were just regular citizens like everybody else. And I think a lot of the portrayals, much like how the media tried to portray the Tea Party way back when, were based on the media's own judgments, on their own cultural attitudes, and really an attempt to really dismiss who these people are and what they stand for, something ugly and odious, where I think most Americans, if you see who these people were that showed up, would say, those are just regular people like me. What do they have to say? But that's not the picture that the media wanted to portray.
Well, going back to the issue about black people, in your article, you quote former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who said in a 2018 interview in The View, and this is, I'm just going to quote from your own article, quote, and this is Condoleezza Rice: "Let me tell you why I'm a defender of the Second Amendment. I was a little girl growing up in Birmingham, Alabama in the late 50s and early 60s. There was no way that Bull Connor and the Birmingham police were going to protect you. I'm sure if Bull Connor had known where those guns were, he would have rounded them up," she said. "So I don't favor some things like gun registration." End of quote from Condoleezza Rice. I mean, she's a very, very accomplished African-American, and that is an interesting twist that the media would say, oh, this is just a bunch of white supremacists. And it was, as you said, it was a very well-integrated crowd as far as, race.
Absolutely, and I absolutely want to reiterate this. I mean, I think that's one of the more pernicious narratives, that this is somehow, this is being a proponent of gun rights or the Second Amendment you know, is only for white people as they try to portray it. And I would say that in many cases the opposite is true. And I think that is a very shameful portrayal, especially, again, when you know the history of gun rights in this country. I do appreciate one of the early civil rights activists who was actually one of the founders of the NAACP, Ida B. Wells, said that the Winchester rifle should have an honored place in the home of every black American. And I think that is an important thing. I think most Americans understand this too. I think gun culture is very much ingrained into what America is, and I think that, look, there are times, especially, look, when you don't always have government authorities there to protect you, whether that be because they can't protect you, or in some cases, unfortunately, where they won't protect you, and during what Condoleezza Rice was speaking to. So I think there's a reason why we do treasure the independence that comes through gun, responsible gun ownership, the ability to defend ourselves, our communities. It does speak to what this country was ultimately built on, which is why I think there is such resistance in this country, maybe even compared to European countries or nations around the globe, many of whom have been disarmed. I mean, I think that's really, I think it's an important thing as we look across the water to places like Hong Kong, and you see a people that have been disarmed by their government. They have little recourse. They just have to hope that their own government doesn't become outright oppressive and tyrannical. And Americans don't want to trust just that hope. They want to trust in the protections that we have, in the rights, our God-given rights, have been protected by the Constitution, and at the very, very, very end of the line, our firearms. And that is very important to understanding what America is.
It's interesting, too, because when you look at the cities that have the most strict gun control laws, such as Chicago, New York City, Washington, D.C., you know, we never hear about stories of gun violence there, do we? No, of course not. We hear about, you know, terrible stories, and that's because the bad guys have the guns, but the good guys don't, because they've been taken away. Now, what in Virginia, somebody was saying they were using the word sanctuary, like something like as if some of the different communities of Virginia would be gun-free zones or something. What? Tell us about that, and drill down, what more is Northam and the legislature trying to do?
Well, a lot of counties are actually trying to resist some of the gun control legislation coming down the pipeline. They're trying to create what they call gun sanctuaries, which is very interesting.
Okay.
I assume very much modeled on what you have in states like California, where they have illegal immigrant sanctuaries, things like this. And I think it will bring up a lot of course, legal cases. I assume there are going to be a number of gun control cases making their way eventually to the Supreme Court, which I would say this court has been much more favorable to gun rights than some in the past, which is very important. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about Second Amendment rights that are enshrined in the Constitution. And frankly, Americans shouldn't have to create pro-Second Amendment sanctuaries. I think that at the end of the day, that the Second Amendment is something that,
right,
that needs to be enforced. And so it is interesting to see the kind of pushback that's happening all through Virginia. There was even one legislator in West Virginia who's calling for parts of Virginia to rejoin with West Virginia as they did during the Civil War because of the radicalism happening in the Richmond legislature. Because there is people throughout the state who really, they don't support these laws. They don't support the trend of the state where it's going. I think they're rightfully fearful that a lot of their rights are now going to be threatened by a legislature that, frankly, doesn't care about their beliefs, is very much against them, especially when it comes to gun rights. So it is an interesting case, and it's a case where a state that, again, was very recently purple, but thanks to the growing Washington, D.C. blob that dominates in West Virginia, is trending in a very radical left-wing direction.
That dominates in West Virginia? You mean that dominates in the D.C. area? Is that what
yes,
you mean?
Excuse me. It dominates in the northern,
sure,
Virginia, Washington, D.C. area, which
it does
go to the transformation that has happened within the state, is that the growth of Washington, D.C., the kind of blob that moves through northern Virginia. And those attitudes and those values ultimately are reflected in the Virginia state capitals. A lot of those people live outside of Washington, D.C., which I think is why you're seeing such a rapid and stark change happening in a lot of Virginia communities.
Okay, we have 30 seconds to wrap up. No matter how conservative your state has been in the past, you're just one leftist legislature away from radical change. So you write in a separate column, same state, though, Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, I mean, we're seeing the Californization of Virginia, a state that until very recently was a moderate, I would say even conservative-leaning state. We now have dominance of Democrats at the top, and they are going to push the most extreme policies they can in a very short amount of time. I think it's a warning to other states, you know, how quick this transformation can happen. I mean, really, I mean, not even a generation away that you could see potential tyranny, things like this. And so I think Virginia is a warning to the rest of the country, and I think these protests are an important pushback, an important warning to everybody else that these policies are not acceptable to average Americans.
Good. Jarrett Stepman, Heritage.org. Thanks for being with us, Jarrett.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye-bye.